Hare Krishna. I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. Today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining this session and giving your very valuable association and enlightening on the topic of Antya Leela. Thank you so much. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Shyamasundari Mataji, for introducing and welcoming everybody in this conference call. And thank you, everyone, for joining, for taking out your time and giving your valuable association. So just give me a minute and then we'll go ahead and start. Okay, so thank you all so much for joining. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Chapter 3, entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela, Chapter 3, entitled The Glories of Haridas Thakur, and today we'll start with text number 260. Upadesha Panamaya Chali Lahana Prita Ei Sabha Kathate Karo Na Janme Pratita. Thus, after being instructed by Haridas Thakur, Maya left with great pleasure. Unfortunately, some people have no faith in these narrations. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Namine Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Nangayati Yat Kripahatam Hambandi Shri Guru Devatarinam. Hare Krishna. So before we begin, I'll just seek blessings, prayers and wishes from each and every one of you so that the right message is conveyed as per given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, especially our Prabhupada and all our present Guru Varkas. So I bow down to each and every one of you to please shower your heartfelt wishes, prayers and blessings. Vancha kalpatarupascha kripa sindhu vaivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namo. Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrindi ki jai, Shri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Okay. So, hopefully, by Krishna's mercy, today we'll try to end up this whole chapter. So, till now, in this chapter, we saw how Haridas Thakur, he was tested time and again, and how beautifully he passed through all the flying colors. And first we saw that how, you know, the first episode actually happened in Benapula, where the prostitute came to allure Haridas Thakur on request of Ramachandra Khan. And finally she accepted him as a spiritual master and she took shelter. And then Haridas Thakur moved to Chandpur, where again this episode of Gopala Chakravarti happened, and he contracted leprosy disease by committing a Vaishnava prad. And then Haridas Thakur moved towards, you know, he went to Shantipur and he got association of Advaitacharya. And finally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami narrates another beautiful episode, how Maya Devi, who is the external energy of Krishna, she herself came to allure Haridas Thakur to test him. But finally, she also got defeated with the power of holy name and took initiation from Haridas Thakur and worshipped his lotus feet. And after that, you know, the today's verse, the translation that we read, that after thus being instructed from Haridas Thakur, Maya Devi left with great pleasure. But unfortunately, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that some people have no faith in these kinds of narrations. And after, you know, saying this, Kaviraj Goswami quotes a very beautiful verse in the next immediate verse, that is 261. Pratiha karite kahi karana ihara yahara shravane haya vishwasa sabara. And he said, therefore, I shall explain the reasons why people should have faith, and everyone who hears this will be faithful. So he describes, the Phalashruti, that how one should develop faith in hearing all these pastimes. These are not the ordinary pastimes. This is the pastimes of the Supreme Lord's devotees. They're his pure devotees. So these are not the ordinary pastimes, and one should hear with full faith. And then he gives this Phalashruti that those who hears it with full faith, lend their ears onto such episodes, such pastimes, they will be very, very faithful. They'll develop deep attachment, deep faith, deep conviction towards the Supreme Lord. So we'll not move forward right now, but here we'll take a pause and we'll understand about all these episodes that happened with Haridas Thakur. And of course, in the other places like in Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, we also heard that how Haridas Thakur was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. So how he all went through such atrocities. So, you know, we'll move forward. We'll pause here and then we'll move on to the next part that we'll understand about the two basic things of a Krishna consciousness. The first is the importance of holy name. As we all know that about 99% of devotional service is dependent on how we are chanting our holy name, because everything boils down in chanting the holy name. So what is its importance? What are the glories of holy name? What's the potency of holy name? And what's the effect when one chants the holy name? So this is the one aspect, but we'll not discuss this aspect because yesterday Adi Gadadhar Prabhu has covered it in a very great detail, very elaborately. So we'll not touch upon, but just want to tell you that this is the basic topic of our Krishna consciousness. And Prabhu has covered in very great detail. Now, the second aspect is how, since we are in this material world, so how Krishna's energies, Krishna's material energy, especially material energy, Maya Devi, how she acts onto the living entities, onto the conditioned souls like us, and how we can cross over and how we can give importance to holy name and chant Krishna's glories. So today's topic will be understanding Maya. So first of all, there will be few bifurcations, you know, that I have made. Try to get into it. So just bear with me. I'll try to concise my class as far as possible and try to make it simpler also. So first of all, the first aspect is, what is Maya? So the word Maya itself has, you know, the two words, Ma and Ya. Ma means not, and Ya means this. So that which is not this is Maya, means something which is illusion. She is the energy of the Supreme Lord, but Maya is illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Why she is known as illusory energy? Because it's not that she is false, but the thing is, she puts the living entities into illusion, and that's why she is known as illusory energy of the Supreme Lord. Now, just a one, you know, statement, it is existentially false. You can note it down. So Maya is existentially false. That's why it is Maya, because it's just an illusion, right? It's not there, but since she is the energy of the Supreme Lord, so existentially she is false, but experientially she is true. So how experientially, that is means once with one's own experience, she becomes true. Like we all living entities, we all know that Maya, this material world, is temporary. But we are so much allured with the so-called material enjoyment that we think that, oh, everything is true. My wealth is true, my honor is true, my prestige is true, my relationships with my family members is true. We think that everything is true, everything is eternal. So existentially, we have to understand that Maya is false, but experientially it is true. That's what we think. That's what the living entities think. Example given of a mirage. So mirage is also an illusion. We all know that it's just because of the refraction of the sunlight that a mirage is formed on the land, and where it seems that there is a water, but actually it is not water. There is no water. So existentially, there is no water. But experientially, the animals or people, they think that there is water. So some animals who are really, you know, very much thirsty, so to quench their thirst, they think that there is a water body. And that water body is simply formed because of the refraction of the sunlight. And that's what mirage is. So they think that there is a water body. And so they go to that place, and but there is no water. So the experientially it is true. They feel like that there is water and they can drink that water and then they can quench their thirst. But existentially there is no water. There is nothing. And not only that, animals, you know, they get so much allured that even after reaching to this point, they think, oh, there is no water. But just when they see ahead, again, the same mirage is there, and they think, oh, there is another water. They go to that place. So this is how experientially they feel that, you know, there is water. But when they reach to that point, there is no water. So that's what the Maya is. They realize that there is no water and they get bewildered again. On the other hand, if we say Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Na Abhinnatva Nama Namino. So this is the very important shloka, and we all know, but it's by Rupa Goswami, that how holy name is non-different from Krishna, right? So it is Purna Shuddha, it is very pure, it is Nitya Mukta, it is eternally, you know, it helps one to get liberated. But Abhinnatva Namanam, there is no difference between Krishna and Krishna's holy name. But how many of us, I'm just talking about myself, probably this class is for me, like never able to realize that when I'm chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is it that I'm calling Krishna's name? And when I'm calling Krishna's name, I'm really feeling that Krishna is here. I don't even think that Krishna is there or Krishna is dancing. The name of Krishna is dancing on my tongue. Never get that feeling, never get that experience, never get that ecstasy. Why? Because we don't even think that there is, that Krishna's name and Krishna's form, they are non-different. For another example is the deities in the temple. Yes, the deities are there in temple. They are Sakshat Bhagwan. So existentially they are true, but with our experience, we don't even consider them that they are Sakshat Bhagwan. You know, they are made up of stone, wood. But how many of us really feel when we go to the temple that, wow, Sakshat Krishna is Radharani or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Panchatattva, they are right now standing in front of me. Do we get, frozen after seeing them? Or do our hairs stand on end? Do we feel any kind of ecstasy while seeing the deities? No. Why? Because experientially, we are so much conditioned that we don't even feel that Krishna's holy name is there or Krishna's deity form is Sakshat Krishna and he's right now standing in front of us. But existentially, it is true. Holy name is not different from Krishna. But through our experience, we don't even understand that. So this is the two opposites, you know, just to make it clear. But why it happened? Why don't we feel that when we chant Krishna's name, is that Krishna is right now present in front of me? Is because we are diseased. We are diseased with the disease called jaundice. And in jaundice, what happened is the remedy is to take sugar. But the more we take sugar, the sugar tastes bitter. If our tongue is, you know, infected with jaundice, and then we taste even the rasagulla, which is very sweet, it seems to be bitter. Because we are diseased, we are conditioned. So in our conditioned state, you know, we think that Maya is true and Krishna is false. That's what is conditioning is. Even our material body, you know, we decorate it. It's so temporary. We decorate it, right? To the full of our satisfaction. But we have to understand that this material body is so temporary. After all, what it is made up of? It is made up of blood, flesh, mucus, bile, stool. So existentially, it is false because it will not remain the same after 20, 40, 60 years. We'll get old, we'll get wrinkles, our color will change, the deformation of the body will happen. So existentially it is false, but experientially we feel, oh, this is going to last forever. I'm going to be young forever. I'm going to remain the same forever. And when a lover sees, you know, his beloved, he also thinks, oh wow, my beloved is so beautiful and she'll remain like this. So experientially, it looks like, oh wow, it is true. And existentially, you know, existentially we think that it is true, but experientially it is false. So again, this example we can understand with the beautiful story that Prabhupada often quotes, that how one man, he proposes a girl. And she knows that this man is not of the right character, but she didn't say just no at that very spot. And she said, okay, you can come after 7 days. And this person said, oh, okay, I'll come after 7 days. And within that 7 days, that girl took a lot of laxatives, because of which she was vomiting and, you know, she was excreting badly. And what she did is that she collected all her excretion and all her vomit in the pots. And after 7 days, when the boy came to that house and he saw a very ugly lady, eyes are shrunken, complexion has totally become dark, and she looks so feeble, so weak. And then he was not able to recognize her. And he said, hey, I met one beautiful lady. Where is she? And then she said, I'm the one whom you are looking for. You were the one who proposed me 7 days before ago. And then now I'm right now in front of you. And he said, but you were so beautiful before 7 days. And she said, yes, my beauty is there in that pot. And she took that man to that pot. And then when man went, oh, obnoxious smell was coming because of that, you know, bad abnormal things. But still, you know, that lady said, now this is the beauty. So the moral of the story is that this beauty, so-called beauty, is just an illusion, because it will go away over the period of time. But now, how to understand this? Do we think that this beauty is Maya? or the so-called mirage is Maya, or the so-called wealth is Maya. No, that is not Maya. This illusion is not Maya. So that point we have to understand. Like those who are intelligent, those who know that this, there is no water, it's just the refraction of the sunlight, definitely they'll not hanker for that water body. They'll not go after that water body. Why? Because they are quite intelligent that this is not water. This is just a mirage that is formed. Those who are really scientific, those who are intelligent, they know this, right? They know that there is no water body. So what Maya is actually something that originates in our mind, in our conception, in our consciousness. When we think that this is beauty is forever, this is illusion, this is Maya. Itself, the beauty is not Maya. But when we conceive in our mind that this beauty will remain forever, that is Maya. So when we consider a person or a particular thing which is meant for my enjoyment, separated from Krishna, that is what is Maya. Okay, so we have to really understand this, that the thing or a particular situation, that is not Maya. But our conception, how we take those things, how we think that, you know, everything is for my enjoyment and we take it separated from Krishna, that conception is called Maya. And it's only through that conception the agents of Maya come and make us more separated towards Krishna, and we get separated from Krishna, and then, you know, Maya attacks and the fall down happens. Another example is given of a bullet in a gun. So if there is a gun and it is loaded with bullet, so definitely when we press the trigger, the bullet will come out. But if the gun is unloaded, there is no bullet in the gun, then how much ever we press the trigger, nothing will come out because there is nothing inside. So if you squeeze a mango, what you will get? You'll get a mango juice. If you squeeze an orange, you'll get an orange juice. It will never happen that you squeeze an orange and you'll get a mango juice. That won't happen. So now, taking this conception in our mind, if we see the case of Haridas Thakur, he was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. He would have got angry. He would have revolted. He would have taken revenge. But he didn't. He didn't. The Maya actually worked. Maya came. Maya came in the sense that Maya could have provoked Haridas Thakur, because the situation was such that he was beaten up by 22 marketplaces. How many of us are on that level? You know, forget about beaten up in 22 marketplaces. Even if somebody says something to us, we feel like taking revenge. We feel so much angry. And that when anger comes out is what is Maya. But with the case of Haridas Thakur, nothing came out because he was an unloaded gun. Because there was no anger inside, so anger didn't come out. But his gun was loaded with Maha Mantra. So though he was beaten up in 22 marketplaces, but still what came out from his mouth is what was inside his heart. And what was it? Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The whole time he was chanting Hare Krishna, he couldn't stop chanting. And all those people who were beating up, they were saying, please stop chanting. And finally, they told Haridas Thakur, if you don't die, then we will be killed by Nawab Hussain, because he's the one who told us to beat you up. And at that time, Haridas Thakur said, okay, for your benefit, I'll become unconscious. And finally, they threw him in the water. So this is what, you know, the situation is. What I'm trying to tell is that someone may say, why Maya is coming just in a form of a woman? No, Maya can come in any form. And it came. Maya came. But Haridas Thakur, being a pure Vaishnava, was not affected. he would have got angry, and that's it. Maya, the channel of Maya through which Maya works would have been successful. But no, because he was pure Vaishnava and he took shelter of the holy name. So even on that provoking situation, the anger didn't come out. Rather, what was inside is the holy name that came out, and Haridas Thakur passed that test. So what I'm trying to make you understand is that when we blame others, when we blame situations, when we blame circumstances, it's very easy to blame. Oh, because of such and such person this happened. Oh, because of such and such situation, I'm not able to practice my Krishna consciousness. We can blame anybody, but that blame is, you know, that situation or that person or that scenario or that circumstances, they are not responsible. What is responsible is our conception, how we are conceiving, how we are, you know, what is our conception in taking all other people, other things, other situations and other scenarios. It's up to us. How we can make everything conducive so that we can practice our Krishna consciousness. So this is what, you know, the first part was that what is Maya. The next part of it, understand that what is the origin of Maya? From where is she coming from? And why she is doing all this to all the devotees and all the people of this material world? Why is she doing it? What is the origin? And to that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that who is Maya? What is the origin of Maya? Is Daivi Esha Hi Gunamai Mama Maya Durattaya. Krishna says this Maya is Daivi. She is divine. She is not of demoniac nature. She is divine. She is Daivi. And then she is Gunamai. She is made up of all those material modes. And then Krishna says Mama Maya. Krishna says that she is my Maya. She is working under my supervision. You know, so this is the origin of Maya. She is divine. She is made up of material modes and she is Krishna's. Krishna says she is mine. And Durattaya, Mama Maya, Durattaya. It's very difficult to cross over this Maya. Why? Because after all, she is Krishna's energy. She is a devotee of Krishna who is assigned this special task by Krishna to put all the living entities onto this, all this test. So to this, we'll see an example that just like the child who was in the fourth grade, and if you want to promote a child to the next fifth grade, definitely you'll place a test for the child to see whether the child has really understand all the curriculum that is there in the fourth grade. Only then the child will be able to understand the curriculum of the fifth grade. Otherwise, without test, if you promote the child to the fifth grade, the child have not yet understood what is there in fourth grade and he will not be able to understand what is there in the fifth grade. And if you go on, move forward and finally the child graduates and he becomes a well-known engineer or doctor or any field if the child opts for, the child will not be able to perform well. He'll not be able to do his duty well. Why? Because the child has not been given test to make sure that the child has, you know, that person has understand everything. So definitely, if whatever the field the child opts, he will not be able to do his duty properly. He will not be a very good doctor or so-called engineer or so-called teacher. He won't do his task properly. So similarly, if we right now are rebellious of Krishna, we are forgetful of Krishna. That's why we are in this material world. Now, if we are not put into test and we go and reach to Krishna's abode, there also we'll show the same rebellious nature against Krishna and Krishna's devotees. And what we will create problem for Krishna there. Because, and we'll create problem not only for Krishna, but for his devotees also. Because we have not been tested properly that yes, whether we are fit to go to Krishna's abode or not. So in order to see that if we are fit to go to Krishna's abode, Krishna has appointed an examiner. And that's what is Maya Devi, who put us into various exams. And you know that exams even can get crucial. Like what a fourth grader, for the fourth grader, the exam will be easy, right? But if the same person goes on to the 12th grade, and the grad, when he takes the exam for graduation, naturally the exam will be harder, will be more complicated. So similarly, when we also advance in Krishna consciousness, Maya attacks, the attacks of Maya will be such, will be in a, such a form that it will be very, very crucial for us. But then how can we cross over? How can we pass that test? Is Krishna himself says, Mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That this my maya can be crossed over. You can pass such test only if you surrender unto me. Krishna says, Mam eva ye prapadyante. Those who surrender unto me can definitely pass over this maya, can definitely pass over any test that maya places. And then what happened? The same that Haridas Thakur, you know, Maya Devi herself came to allure Haridas Thakur. First of all, she sends all her agents. But when Haridas Thakur was least affected, she herself came. But when Haridas Thakur even was least interested with Maya Devi also, then, you know, finally she surrendered unto Haridas Thakur. And she requested Haridas Thakur to please initiate me, make me your disciple, be my spiritual master and initiate me in this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then Maya Devi will help in our Krishna conscious journey to progress in our spiritual path. Previously, she'll put all the tests, but when we pass those tests, that can only be possible when we surrender unto Krishna and takes Krishna's holy name as our only shelter. Then Maya Devi will, rather being testing us, she will help us so that we can step over all those ladders and, you know, come on to the position where we can be in Krishna's abode. So this is how, you know, just to say that how this is the origin of Maya and how we can cross over. The final point that I want to bring up is that how Maya traps us. So there are two ways in which Maya traps us, so that we'll try to understand. It will be a little technical, but just, you know, be patient and hear so that, you know, you can easily understand it. So the two ways that Maya works is, actually Maya also has two energies. So first is the Avarnatmika Shakti. So what is Avarnatmika Shakti? So first is that Avarnatmika Shakti is when our real knowledge is covered by Maya. When our real knowledge, what is the real knowledge? When we don't understand who we are, who is Krishna, what is my relationship with Krishna, why I am in this forgetful state of Krishna, how can I progress so that I can understand my Supreme Lord? When all this knowledge is covered, that is known as Avaratmika Shakti, through which Maya works. When we forget our real duty, and what is our real duty is to serve Krishna, to be a servant of Krishna. When we forget this real duty, jive sarupa hoy nitya Krishna nas, when we forget this real duty and we get entangled, we get trapped in all other false identities and we get entangled, this is how the Maya works and finally the fall down happens. So when we get trapped in our so-called false identities, I am a mother, I am a wife, I am a daughter, I am a sister, I am a daughter-in-law. You know, when we get into all these complexities, all these false identities and forget my real relationship with the Supreme Lord, this is what, you know, it says that my whole knowledge is covered and Maya works through it, through his Avaratmika Shakti. So this is the first. When we don't realize, when we think that, when we know that we are in this miserable condition, but we don't realize that we are in this miserable condition. We don't even realize it. We think that, oh, I'm the most happiest person. Example is being given the pastime of Indra. How Indra was cursed by Brihaspati and got a body of a hog. Such an obnoxious, you know, body, you know, that because that hog, that pig is continuously in that filthy place and enjoys everything, you know, that stool and urine and so not, what so not. But when Brahma realized that, oh, Indra has now become a hog and there is no one to do, to manage Indra Loka. So Brahma came back to Indra and he said, now enough, your time period is over. Now you please come back and take your position. But Indra, being in a hog, being in the body of a hog, forgot that he is Indra. And he simply said, oh no, I'm happy with my sheep pig and my all little piglets. I want to enjoy with them. Though he is in such a filthy place, but being in a body of a hog, he think, oh, this is the best. So similarly, things happen with us. We know this place is Dukhalyam Ashashvatam. This place is not worthy to stay. But we think, oh, I'm simply enjoying. All, everything is for my enjoyment. And we forget our real identity of being a servant of Krishna. And we think, oh, okay, whatever is happening with me is, you know, is for my enjoyment, for my pleasure. And let me stay, you know, my son, my daughter, my husband, my wife, you know, we just go on with our so-called temporary material designations. And this is what is our Atmika Shakti, that Maya covers our real knowledge and we get trapped in Maya's net. So this is the one aspect. The second aspect is Prakshepatmika Shakti, that is the another one. That is when Maya makes us fall down. When a person has an intense desire to reach Krishna, to understand Krishna, but Maya makes us fall down. So in that case, you know, we can see a lot of people, they come in contact of a devotee, they join Bhakti Vriksha, like when we go for book distribution, they are so much happy, oh yeah, I'll come every Friday, I'll join your Bhakti Vriksha, I'll join this Bhagavad Gita classes, and they do come over. But then what happened? Something happens in them, that's what is Maya Prakshepatmika Shakti that works, and that person thinks, why I'm joining this Bhagavad Gita? Every Friday, every weekend, I'm ruining my weekend by joining this Bhagavad Gita class. This is not the right time. Why do I have to follow all these rules and regulations? Is this the right time that I have to leave all kind of enjoyments and simply surrender unto Krishna? No. I have my family, I have my children, I have to look after for them, and you know, I have to nourish them. And this is not the right time. Maybe when they grow old and they are independent, and when I am at my retirement stage, then I can think over and join this Bhakti Vriksha. And they leave. So what happened? They come and there is a fall down. Why? Because at that time, Maya's Prakshepatmika Shakti works to test whether the person is really sincere or not. So through this Shakti, what happens is doubt comes. Then faithlessness comes. Why I should join? This is not the right age. This is not the right time. Right? And then the fall down happens. But a person, he, the soul itself, you know, want to progress in Krishna consciousness. But when Maya Shakti works, it makes us fall down. But this Shakti is also important, right? Why? Because it tests us. Are we really sincere to join, or we are joining because of some force, or we are going to because of some fear? No. Krishna doesn't want anyone to come because of some fear, because of some force, because of some duty. Krishna wants all the living entities to come because of love. That's the only criteria that Krishna is looking for. When we chant the holy name, we should not chant out of duty. It's fine sometimes we chant out of duty because we have taken a vow in front of a spiritual master, in front of deities, in front of all the assembled Vaishnavas. But that's a very low class chanting. But when we chant out of love, not out of fear, not out of duty, but out of love, that's what Krishna is looking for. So till the time that love, that spontaneous love is not developed, Maya's channels, Maya's agents, Maya's Shakti, they work because they want to test us. Example is given of Shaubhuri Muni. How, you know, he wants to know about Krishna. He was on a very self-realized platform. And therefore he said, oh, this Maya, this material world, I'm going to leave. And he went to the forest in the pond where nobody is there. He went underneath that water and he said, okay, here I'm going to meditate. So he was on that platform because he had got so much siddhis, that mystic, through his mystic powers, that he could go underneath the water and he could meditate. And he did it. But then what happened? Maya's this Shakti came. And as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw two fishes copulating. They're having sex. And immediately, you know, his mind, you know, the trigger was done, and what was inside, because it was by force, it was not out of love. So immediately that desire of having sex came in his mind. And that's it. The fall down happens. He married 50 daughters of Mandatra. So similar the case of Vishwamitra. He wants to become a Brahma Rishi. And just, you know, Indra sent Menaka, and just hearing the ankle bangs of Menaka, what was inside, the desire, the hidden, the trapped desire, which was by force suppressed, that desire came out. And what happened is that he got united with Menaka, and finally the fall down happened. Whereas we see the another extreme example of Haridas Thakur, that how Maya Devi, she came first in the form of a prostitute and then by herself, just to allure Haridas Thakur. But since he took shelter of holy name, she was not able to touch Haridas Thakur. She was not able to defame Haridas Thakur, and Haridas Thakur passed with the flying colors. Why? Because he took shelter of holy name. Mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. One who takes shelter can pass all the allurements of Maya. Right, and then Maya helps one to grow in our Krishna consciousness. Now, this Shakti, this so-called Shakti that we read about, Prekshatmika Shakti, through which, you know, a person who wants to come to Krishna consciousness, wants to understand Krishna, but being tested by this energy, there is a fall down that happens. Now, this Shakti also works in two levels. This first is the gross level, and then the second is the subtle level. How gross level? Our senses are trapped, and then the fall down happens. Like the case of Shaubhuri Muni and Vishwamitra we saw. The senses are trapped, and the fall down happens. But this Shakti works in a subtle form also. When we are in Krishna consciousness, when we are following all rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness, when we study the Shastras so nicely, but then what happens? This Shakti works in another subtle form when we aspire for name, for fame, for some recognition, for some pride. So this is the more subtler form. The first is the gross level, when our senses get trapped. But this is when our mind, our consciousness, that gets trapped. And we look for some name. We look for some fame. We look for some recognition. You know, even in bhakti, it happens, right? So when we progress more and more in bhakti and we get more and more advanced in our reading scriptures and learning shastras and in chanting the holy name, then we get some recognition. And if we get allured by that recognition, what happens? Maya attacks, and something or other happens. When we sit on Vyasasana, we speak something or the other, immediately the fall down happens. So we have to really understand that even in bhakti, Maya can trap us. And therefore, if a bhakti goes in waves, we should be happy. Sometimes Yes, sometimes we don't able to make up our vows. Like, for example, I'll give you the example of Ekadashi. If we keep Ekadashi fast. Now, if I'm keeping Ekadashi fast and I'm doing Nirjala, and if I see someone taking Ekadashi Prasadam, then I feel, oh, see, I'm able to do Nirjala. That person should understand. After all, this is Pandava Nirjala Ekadashi. At least this Ekadashi, this person would have done Nirjala Ekadashi. This is such a special Ekadashi. This is not an ordinary Ekadashi. At least this Ekadashi, he would have restrained himself taking Ekadashi Prasadam. I am able to do it. I am very easily able to do it, Nirjala, without taking just a drop of water. Now what's happening? I'm fasting, but my ego is feasting. I'm thinking, oh, I'm so great. So this is how Maya attacks. When we chant our Gayatri and we say, till now I have chanted all my Gayatris as per the GCAL timings, then this is what is Maya is attacking us. But sometimes when we are not able to chant our Gayatri in a particular time frame, then it makes us humble. We get more surrender to Krishna. Oh Krishna, please help me so that I can progress in my life. I can at least follow those rules and regulations that is being laid down by our acharyas. So if our bhakti comes in waves, it humbles us down and we should be happy. But if bhakti comes only in this position, like the graph going upward, there is a full chance that Maya traps us through his subtle form. So when we are totally materialistic, our condition is that we are hopeless. We are simply hopeless and we experience defeat. But then what happened? We come in touch with the spiritual master. We come in touch of a pure devotee of the Lord. Then yes, there is a struggle. There is a struggle. And there should be a struggle because we are coming from that totally materialistic conditioned life. There is a struggle to come over it. And sometimes we experience defeat also. But still, we should go on. We should go on in our struggle. And then when we become more sincere in our sadhana, we get more enthused in our sadhana by seeing other devotees, then also struggle is there, but then we'll see that we have won over. We get victory instead of defeat. Right? Their struggle is there, but there is victory this time because we are able to control our senses. We are able to chant our rounds properly. We are able to follow all the rules and regulations. Though with struggle, but the victory is there. But finally, when we develop love for Krishna, then what happened? Effortless victory is there. There is no struggle. And finally, we win over all the senses and all the tests of Maya. Same thing happened with Haridas Thakur. How effortlessly he defeated Maya. Now, the point here is to understand is when Maya came, when Maya Devi herself came and when the prostitute came, both the times the commonality is that Haridas Thakur said, I am going to fulfill your desire. But right now, I have taken a vow to chant. Let me finish my chanting. Let me finish my prescribed number of rounds. I will fulfill your desire. And he made both of them waited for 3 days, 3 nights. But since he took shelter, the complete shelter of holy name, he was not proud in any sense. He was not thinking, oh, it's my vow. I have to do it. So, you know, I'm the one, I'm the great chanter. No. He said, this is my vow. I have taken the shelter, but let me finish my round and I'll get united with you. I'll fulfill all your desire. Since he took shelter of Krishna's holy name, who is non-different from Krishna, Krishna helped him. And finally, very effortlessly, he became victorious. He became victorious. And finally, Maya Devi herself surrendered unto this Haridas Thakur. So to this, you know, now we'll just quickly go to the following verses where we stopped coming back, that how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that people have very less faith, but those who hear this, all these narrations that Haridas Thakur went through, they'll become more faithful. And then he says that during the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya, to inaugurate Krishna conscious movement, lot of personalities as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and four Kumaras, they took birth upon this earth. Why? They want to become allured by the ecstatic love of Lord Sri Krishna. Because Lord Chaitanya himself came to inaugurate this Krishna conscious movement. And then he says, all of them, including the sage Narada, he came. And we know who Narada is. Narad Muni is our Shiva's Thakur. He came as Shiva's Thakur. And devotees like Prahlad Maharaj came. Now, who was Prahlad Maharaj in Chaitanya Leela? He was Vasudeva Datta. He was the one who made this statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all the living entities in his presence. And he says that Vasudeva Datta actually submitted that if, you know, all these living entities are unfit to be liberated, then please, I am the one who is going to take all their sinful reactions. And I will be the one who will suffer personally. But oh my Lord, please liberate all these living entities. So he was Prahlad Maharaj who came as Vasudeva Datta. Right? And then he says that the goddess of fortune also herself came because she was also allured by love for Krishna. And she also came down in the form of human being just to taste the nectar of this holy name of the Lord. Then if all these personalities can come, then what to speak? And like one more thing he's saying that, yeah, what to speak that even Krishna himself, the son of Nand Maharaj, the Vrajendra Nandan Shama Sundar Krishna had himself came personally to taste the nectar of love of Godhead, and he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. He's non-different from Radha and Krishna. So Krishna himself came to taste this nectar of love of Godhead, and that's one of the internal reason of the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as described by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So if all these personalities can come to taste the nectar of holy name, then our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Maya Dasi Prema Mage Ithe Ki Vismaya Sadhu Kripa Nama Vina Prema Na Janmaya. He's saying that if all these personalities can come, then there what wonder that if Maya, who is Krishna's servant, herself came, the external energy of Krishna came to beg Haridas Thakur to make her bathe in the nectarian showers of holy name. Right? But then he says, Sadhu Kripa Nama Bina Prema Na Janmaya. That without the mercy of a devotee and without the chanting the holy name, love of Godhead is not possible. So to have association of a devotee and to get the association of chanting the holy name, Maya Devi herself came and she took shelter of Haridas Thakur, the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. And then he says, all these activities that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that I have described, they all have made the whole world dance. And I have heard it from Swarup Damodar Goswami, who has heard from the mouth of Raghunath Das Goswami and has made notes of all these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And still taking a very humble position of an insignificant servant, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that I have still just touched the surface. I have described all these pastimes very briefly because there is so much more to say about the glories of Haridas Thakur and all other pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But taking that humble position of being an insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says that I have just described it briefly. I've just touched the surface. I've not gone deep into it. I have described the fragment glories of the Supreme Lord, Haridas Thakur. But even this fragment glories, those who hear, that will definitely satisfy them and will make them more faithful. This is the Phalashruti that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving. And finally, in his conclusive verse, the most celebrated verse that he always write at the end of the every chapter, Shri Rupa Raghunath Pade Yarasa Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. He says that praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunatha, always desiring for their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. So there we end up this chapter, and then tomorrow we'll move on to our next chapter, chapter 4, Sanatan Goswami visits the Lord. Okay, so thank you all so much for joining, for all your wonderful association. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada.
Hari Bol. Wonderful, wonderful class. Thank you so much for giving us this very detailed concept on Maya. I remember one of your previous classes, I think that was on Chaturshloki as well. So I had made similar notes and I was just referring to it. Very, very nice. And especially with the pastime, when we hear the philosophy, it really makes a complete circle, the concept of Maya, how Haridas Thakur dealt with it. And so many realizations, Mataji, how devotees are tested and why devotees are tested and how one should take surrender of Krishna. Everything, it made complete sense and it was a full circle, just this one class. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for, detailing on that, the two kinds of Maya, everything just came together today in one, one pot kichdi to us, everything was in. Thank you so much. And really, I don't have any questions, but then we can take questions for another 5-10 minutes if anyone wants to go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, for always encouraging me. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Ji Kirtida Sundari Mataji, Koti Koti Tanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Narvadev Ki Jai. How nicely explain about the Maya at any time attracts. So we should stay with association of senior Vaishnava. By that placing, by that association, we can chant attentively. Mataji, give an exam of Shabari Rusi and Vishwamitra and the standard of that is touched to heart, that the fourth standard and that kids will cannot learn the higher study. So we cannot get the mercy of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani without the association of senior Vaishnava, even not chant attentively, without hearing Shishi Bhagavatam, Shishi Chaitanya Charitamrita. Like Vilasini, Chi Vilasini Gopi explained that it's a healthy khichdi. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam. Please forgive me if I made any mistake. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, I have a very silly question. The Chatur Kumaras, were they a part of the Leela, meaning like did they have any identities? So I was just curious.
Yeah, when I searched for it, says that even the four Kumaras came, and Brahma, we know he came as Haridas Thakur, but even I was thinking of who were four Kumaras. I don't know.
That's okay, Mataji. As long as they all came, that's good.
Who were four Kumaras? Okay. Let me see if anybody else has anything else to say. Anyone else has any question?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Such a wonderful class, Mataji. Very, like I say, it's a must class. Everyone has to hear this class. The concept of Maya, which is always very hard to understand. Mm-hmm. So you took it in a very organized level and every doubts are clear. No more questions on it. But only two clarifications for me, Mataji. Mm-hmm. The part you said that false identity. We think we are a mother, we are a wife, we are a daughter. Mm-hmm. But in scriptures also we learn we have to do our duty perfectly. Krishna says you have to perform your duty.
Yeah.
So like if I'm a wife, if I'm not fitting into that identity, how can I give my work better? Yes. So anyway, I have to inculcate that role inside me. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we must know it is Maya, or we must know that the real identity is different.
Mm.
So it doesn't merge together, either one. Because I have to do my duty at the same time and think, okay, this is all false identity. So a little bit confusing, Mataji. Can you shed some light on it?
Sure, Mataji. Very, very beautiful question. yes, we have to see ourselves in that identity, but at the same time, not get attached to that identity. When I say that I have to serve my family, being a wife, being a mother. Yes, I have to go into that identity, but at the same time, understand whom I'm serving. I'm serving devotees of Krishna. Arjuna, when he was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he's a warrior, right? He's a prince. He is a father. He is a husband. But when he was fighting, he was carrying out Krishna's instructions. So though he was in that identity, but that real identity of carrying out Krishna's instructions has taken over. So that is more important. So when you say that I have to take care of my child, I have to take care of my husband, yes, you have to. You have to do your duty. Arjuna was also doing his duty, right? As a warrior, his duty was to fight. And he fought. He fought that battlefield because he followed the instructions of Krishna. So when you say that you have to do your duty, yes, do your duty. But at the same time, understand why you are doing your duty, for whom you are doing your duty. You are not doing the duty towards your child because he is your child. You are doing it because you have been given the responsibility to take care of that child, because that child is a devotee of Krishna. So you are a responsible person to do it. And at the same time, don't get attached. There's a difference between attachment and affection. Affection towards family members is very important in order to carry out our duties. Affection should be there. But attachment to an extent that I cannot live without them, you know, that is what we have to check ourselves. So attachment should not be there. Attachment should only be towards Krishna, thinking that I'm carrying out Krishna's instructions as a matter of duty because Krishna has endowed that responsibility on me. Hope that answers, Mataji.
Yes, yes, surely, Mataji. Yeah, that clears the question. Yeah, so that affection is important, but attachment is not necessary. Yes. Yeah. That's very right, Mataji.